Welcome to Invitations to Play, Learn, Grow, the podcast. I am your creative solutions creator and professional mess maker. This week, I want to talk about kids' behavior. What is kids' behavior trying to tell you? Kids will use their behavior as a way of communicating their needs. As kids grow older, what that behavior looks like changes. So, frustration can be a way of saying, I need help, or I don't understand, or I can't do this by myself. So I need help. I need help can be a hard thing for kids to say if they don't know what they need help with, just that they're frustrated that they can't get something to happen the way they thought it should. And so when kids act out or have a meltdown or don't listen the first time, or any number of things, they don't do those things because it feels good for them. They do those things because they don't know how else to ask for help, or to express that they don't understand, or that they can't do something by themselves. I talk a lot about encouraging kids to do things by themselves, to get them to be independent. But you can't just throw a task at a kid of any age or skill level and expect them to pick it up the way that you or I would. They're going to struggle. They're not going to understand it first. They're going to try it, and they're not going to be really good at it. And so they're going to get angry, or they're going to get mean, or they're going to throw things, or they're going to walk away, or they're going to throw themselves on the floor and say, this isn't fair. Why doesn't it work when I do it, but it works when you do it? All of the things that we as adults have heard a million times, whether we are a parent, a caregiver, a teacher, or a family member, it does not matter. We have heard and seen all of the above. And what we need to get better at doing as adults, all of us, me included, is recognizing what is actually happening. And that's very difficult to do when your kid or more than one of your children or students are tearing things to shreds and you don't understand why. You observe something going wrong that has to you a very easy fix, and they're just losing it and you don't know why. And forgive me for laughing, I'm not being cold, but as a teacher for 14 years, I saw this a lot. And you just scratched your head and went, what on earth is going on? Like, this is not that serious. We can fix this. And once you can get a kid to calm down, which first requires us to be calm, you can get them to understand that it's not that serious, that you understand that they're having these big emotions, but that they can achieve the thing that they were trying to do on their own. They just have to do it a certain way. And one of the systems that can be helpful in that situation is either having a conversation that talks the child through the thing that they were attempting in small steps, or helping them back their steps up to where things went wrong and saying, okay, I understand why you got frustrated. When I try to do this, we'll use the example of building blocks, which is something that kids often get frustrated about when they try to build something really, really cool and then it crashes to the ground. So you back them up to the point where they got frustrated. And usually it's a teeny tiny little thing that they got frustrated about. Maybe it's because they put all of this effort in and it all just falls apart, and so they feel like they failed. But if you can make them understand why it fell over, which is a science lesson, which isn't necessarily going to be the most important objective in that moment, but it is something that they will remember for the future, if they you can get them into a state of mind where they're willing to listen, and then you can show them how to use those principles to their advantage so that they can go back and do that thing, the building of the blocks super high, and get it built in a way that it will continue to stand. And then the kids have an understanding of what they did, what went wrong, and why. So the next time they do it, and it all tumbles to the ground, they may have an emotional reaction because it's insulting that your tower falls over, or that the water spills all over your really cool art project, or whatever the case may be. But when we can emotionally set them up to remember that they are capable of being successful at the thing, then they don't have to repeatedly have the meltdown. Setting these systems and these conversations in place also helps us as adults not necessarily have a reactive meltdown to the meltdown that the kids in our lives are having. And when we can use conversations to encourage the kids to express their ideas, they feel confident in being able to not only express their ideas, but they express their feelings and their needs, because they have a better understanding of those things. And these sound like really mature, developed ideas, but really, that's what is important to kids, to feel seen, to feel heard, and to have their capabilities recognized. And because we are the more mature ones in the situation, sometimes it falls to us as the adults to step into the situation and help the kids understand what it is they're thinking, what it is they're feeling, and what it is that they're trying to fulfill the need, the feeling of. So I know that I grew up in a way that when, as kids, we made bad choices or choices that had negative outcomes or consequences, we were often punished. So the punishment that we got a lot growing up was time out. So when you got into an argument, you went into time out to quote unquote think about the way you handled the situation versus taking a step back, having a conversation, acknowledging that the reason why the argument or the fight ensued to begin with was because there was miscommunication, because there was big feelings, because things were happening that couldn't be effectively expressed amongst the children and needed a little adult backup. And so I always, myself, used conversation as a go-between, as the adult, to help the kids work through those difficult situations that cause big emotions and big reactions that aren't necessarily necessary. When we as adults can remember that kids' behavior is trying to tell us something, it does make it easier to maintain your own cool and say, okay, wait a minute. This is not a negative situation for the sake of causing a negative situation. I've talked in other episodes with younger kids about when kids have a meltdown out in public, usually it's because they're tired or they're hungry or they're tired of sitting still and they have pent-up energy that they're trying to exert. And it's the same concept. Once we as adults understand that a young child has meltdowns because they're trying to tell us something, then their meltdown doesn't become our meltdown because we can't get them to stop crying or stop screaming or stop begging for something, or we can't get them to stop throwing themselves on the floor in the middle of the grocery store with people walking by. We become more empathetic to what is going on. And so when we have those tools, okay, to ask the question, are you tired? Are you hungry? Would you like a snack? We're almost done at the store. Have some Cheerios. And when we get home, we'll have something more substantial and you'll feel better. Or we'll go outside and you can play because I know you're probably bored. Or giving them an activity to do in the store while you're doing shopping. Now, with a young child like a 2-year-old, you're going to give them something to independently occupy themselves. But with an older child, you might let them out of the cart and give them a task that makes them feel a part of the boring activity like grocery shopping, that distracts them from their boredom because they now have a task, they have a job, they're important in the grocery shopping trip. And so they no longer feel the need to have a meltdown or to get angry or mouthy or whatever the destructive thing is, because they now have a responsibility, and that makes them feel important. And they feel, again, included in the activity. And again, ultimately, that's what kids want. They want to feel a part of what is going on around them. So, play can be a big part of how kids express their feelings and their needs, because you can set up play experiences that allow kids to explore the big emotions that they have. So they can explore the fear of going to the doctors, or they can explore as play the disagreement with a sibling or a friend down the street. Or they can explore something that a lot of kids are feeling right now or have felt over the last year, year and a half, which is isolation, loneliness, inability to interact. And actually, that is a good example of all of this too. I hear a lot the complaint that the online school kids don't stay on task, they're not absorbing the information, these kinds of frustrating things. And so it's being noticed that kids are falling behind or have fallen behind over the last one or two school years now. And that is because kids are taking in information and they don't feel a part of the learning process of understanding the information that is being presented to them. And that is why I encourage activity-based learning, because when kids can get engaged in the process, they're excited about the idea that is trying to be expressed to them. And so they want to know more. They want to experience it. They want to know what it feels like, what it looks like, what it sounds like, why the thing happens in the case of something like a history lesson or a science lesson. They want to do the experiment because they want to see the thing happen, and then they want to understand why. So they can go back and they can experiment themselves. But getting kids engaged in experiences, again, with the grocery shopping meltdown, errand running example, it allows kids to express themselves, to share their ideas, their feelings, their thoughts, their needs in terms of the example of needing to exhaust their boredom or their pent-up energy. But also expressing their frustration with not quite understanding the lesson that is being verbally taught. So if they can engage with it, they can point to something that is happening and say, okay, well, I did this step and I did this step, but when I got here, the thing that happened when you did it didn't happen for me when I did it. What did I do wrong? And instead of having it pointed out that they didn't do something properly, when they discover it themselves, they become curious about how they can course correct and then get the right outcome. Two more things that I wanted to share is that routines help kids express their thoughts, their feelings, and their needs. So routines can help kids feel independent. And again, I've talked about that in other episodes. But it also gives them a sense of what is coming next. So they can say, once they know what is expected of them for the day, they can then say, I know we're supposed to do X next, or I know we're supposed to move from this place to this place in the next few minutes, but can we switch things up? Can we do this instead of that and then do the other thing afterwards? Versus when the kids are playing or they are engaged in a learning activity and all of a sudden you run into the room and say, all right, time to clean things up or put things away because you need to take a shower or you need to eat lunch or you need to go to a doctor's appointment, and it's an abrupt switch, that triggers a meltdown or it triggers a fight or it triggers angry, sassy reaction that causes us as adults to react. So by allowing kids to know what is coming next or what is expected can allow kids to feel more in control of their emotions because they have a sense of understanding of what is expected of them. Another thing that I wanted to talk about that is a little controversial, but if done right, can have really positive results. And that is, dun dun dun, chores. I know, most kids hate chores when they're looked at as chores, something they have to do, versus something that they get to do as a way of contributing to the household or the classroom or whatever the situation is. Most classrooms that I've ever been a part of or observed have classroom responsibilities or classroom jobs, whether it's feeding the class pet or cleaning the whiteboards. Haha, notice I didn't say chalkboards. Didn't age myself there. Or putting away the computers at the end of the day, or stacking chairs, or for the younger kids, passing out snack supplies. These things help kids feel like they are contributing versus being forced to do a task. And this is a way that you can use a schedule as well. You can create a schedule for the things that the household needs to have a productive day. And then you can divide the tasks up, which means mom does some things, dad does some things, and the kids do some things. Or teacher does some things, and the students do some things. Or if you're a caregiver of kids that are in your care, the caregiver does some things. And the kids being cared for are expected to do some things. And again, a good example is meal prep and meal cleanup. So cooking is a lot of work. And you can engage kids in a learning experience, in a skill-building experience, and give them a sense of responsibility and contribution by letting them help prep breakfast, lunch, dinner, an afternoon snack for the entire group. This was something that I did a lot as a kid, and everyone had a job. So if you were making apple pie, for example, one person got to cut up the apples. One person got to peel the apples. One person got to do the stirring of the dry ingredients. One person got to do the stirring of the wet ingredients. One person got to measure and pour the flour, so on and so on. That gives kids the sense of contributing to a task that would otherwise feel tedious and or cause resistance or a meltdown. And this is also a really great way to introduce new skills and abilities to kids and shore up their confidence and self-esteem, because you're getting them to try something new that nobody is perfect at the first time. And they feel good when it goes right, but then it's also a learning experience and can be a silly, fun situation when things go horribly, horribly wrong or mildly wrong. For instance, when you're pouring the flour into the measuring cup and you get a poof. It's happened to all of us. You can deny it all you want. It's happened to me, so I know it's happened to you. And a kid's first reaction might be to get angry or get upset or get embarrassed and cause tears. But if you can get them to laugh about it, you can say, oh, well, that wasn't supposed to happen. And here's how, or here's a little trick that we can use in the future that makes it so that doesn't happen. And then it becomes a learning experience that most likely they're not gonna forget in the future. So you can do and engage kids in chores in a way that they will feel good about it. And through all of these things, you as the adult are getting things maybe checked off the to-do list or getting things done that you need to get done. But by engaging the kids, we are instilling them with skills that they need to learn. We're making them feel good about themselves, and we're helping them to uncover and realize their special skills and abilities, which shores up their self-esteem. We just have to make sure that we as adults go about it in the right ways, with the right small steps, that it doesn't become overwhelming for the kids. And by using these things, you create opportunities for kids to express themselves, to ask for help, to say, I don't understand, or I can't do this by myself, or I tried and it didn't work. How can I do it better? These are things that kids may not be capable just yet of expressing themselves, that may show themselves as big emotions, but with adult support, can become a win-win situation if approached the right way. I hope that you found this episode useful. I hope you got a few good chuckles, because that is something we have to remember as adults, is to chuckle at the little things, even in the most frustrating moments, because we have skill sets and understandings that the kids in our lives don't yet have. And we have to take their mishaps with a grain of salt, which allows us to give them a learning lesson that helps them grow and mature and evolve as kids. So again, I hope you found this useful. I hope you got a few good chuckles. I hope you'll come back next time where I'm going to have another fun learning, skill building, and exploration opportunity to share with all of you. Thank you for joining me this week, and I can't wait to talk to you next time.